hope you're enjoying the series as we're going through, learning about how good God is to us. So this morning, the reason why I have my cup up here is not because I'm thirsty and need a drink, but I may take a drink, but I wanted to show you, we're going to be talking about what's in your cup today. And I'm at the age of life now where I get everything from Sam's. Anybody like that? You just go one store, clothing, food. It doesn't matter if it don't come from Sam's. They don't come get to the house, basically. But anyway, back in, I think, 2017, 2018, we were going through Sam's, and they had these cups. And I said, oh, I want one. And it was getting close to Christmas. I said, Gidget, would you put that under the tree for me? Because I think this is what I want for Christmas. So she got me this cup. And the reason why I like it is because, man, it fits my hand real well. I don't have really huge hands, so I don't like a real big cup. And I don't like a heavy cup. I want a light cup. And I also like the fact that I can put my ice in it and don't have to ever change my ice all day long. It stays cold the whole entire day. So if you're at my house, you'll probably see me drink out of this cup if I'm drinking something. Matter of fact, the kids know this is Daddy's cup. You don't touch it. And my grandchildren know that now. But this is my cup. I'm weird like that. I wash it every night before I go to bed. And I get up next morning, and I use it all day long. It's just my cup. I don't know if you've got a favorite cup or not, but today we're going to be talking about what is in your cup. So let me ask you a question this morning. And what is in your cup? And by cup, I mean what's in your inner being. What's in your heart? What's in your soul? What's in your belly? What's inside of you? What's going on in your life? What have you filled your cup up with? Because there's all kinds of things we fill our lives up with. Man, we fill our lives up to almost to overflowing of stuff. We fill our lives up with calendars, with meetings, with work, with jam-packed days, with family activities and family stuff, with errands, with shopping, with all the things of life. And a lot of times, when we fill our cups so full, it creates a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety, a lot of worry, a lot of all this stuff. So I'm asking today, what's in your cups? What's in your cup? To get an empty cup so that God can fill it with his goodness, you got to make room for it, right? You got to make room inside the cup. The question I often ask myself is, why did I allow my cup to get so full? Why did I allow myself to get so full and so overextended at times? Where I'm overwhelmed, overworked, overtired, overbooked, overstressed, overanxious, and ultimately overrun. Can I tell you the answer why we sometimes do that? I think sometimes the reason why we do it, maybe not all, but sometimes it's because of fear. We are afraid that that fear kind of motivates us to be overloaded. We're afraid that, man, I haven't done enough. I need to do more. We're afraid that I'm going to miss out, so I need to make sure I go to everything. We're afraid that I'm not going to have enough money or enough resources, so we keep working and keep working overtime. We're afraid that maybe our friends will not like us, so we make sure we do everything. We're afraid that our family will fall apart. It's that fear that says, I don't have enough, so I've got to keep trying, do all I can to make it work. You see, the reason why a person fills their cup with stuff and gets overwhelmed is because we're afraid we don't have enough. Maybe what God might be telling someone in here today is we don't need to fill our cup with more meetings, with more work, with more activities to meet our needs. Maybe God wants us to wake up and realize that he is more than enough to meet our needs. Generally, not always, but generally there are two approaches to life. One approach is the not enough mindset. The approach to life can be one of two mindsets, one being not enough. In other words, I don't have enough money. I don't have enough energy. I don't have enough contacts. I don't have enough opportunities. I don't have enough education. I don't have enough knowledge. You just name it. in that sense, you can't just get over the top. You're always lacking something. There's always some reason why you don't have enough and you need more. And it causes us to feel like we're always overwhelmed and that we have limited resources. There's another approach to life, and that is more than enough. A more than enough mindset focuses on God and what God's resources provide so that you know you can trust God. And he's more than enough to fill your cup. You're not overwhelmed. You're not worried. You're not stressed. You're not full of anxiety because you know God takes care of you and your cup's full of him. Did anybody come in here today and say, ooh, I better not sit too close to somebody because they may take all the oxygen that I need to breathe in here? Anybody worried about not having enough oxygen in the house this morning? No. Why? Because God's provided more than enough oxygen. Like, there's plenty. Like, I have some, you've got some. If we had the room packed with all the people in the hospital, like, man, we'd still be full of oxygen. We'd have more than enough. Now, I'm sure somebody, maybe a liberal, may one day say we don't have enough, but we got plenty of oxygen, don't we? Because God takes care of us. He gives us more than enough. Think of it this way. I don't know. One dessert I think everybody loves may be wrong, but it's cheesecake. Because they come in so many different flavors, right? Suppose I have a cheesecake. I generally think we think that if we came here and we say, okay, God provided us with a cheesecake, it'd be like one cake. And there may not be enough for us all to get a slice. But the truth of the matter is God owns thousands and thousands of cheesecake factories. He's got tons of cheesecakes. You don't have to worry about getting a slice. You're going to get multiple pies or cakes because he has more than enough. Sometimes churches, not ours, but they will say, oh, man, I don't know if we can afford to have a missionary come. Because if you have a missionary come, well, you know they got to take up a love offering. And you know it's going to cost to put them up in a hotel. And you know you're going to have to feed them. We just don't have enough resources to have a missionary come. And so they had this life approach that God's not enough. When the truth is, God has more than enough. And I found in pastoring, there are more than one pocket to pull from. Generally, congregations have more than one. Some will give to the general fund. Some will give to missions. Some will give here. Some will give there. But God has always provided more than enough. Have you ever noticed that the Bible uses words like abundance, abounding, plentiful, bountiful, are words that God uses to describe his relationship of giving towards us? God has more than enough to meet our needs and everybody else's needs at the same time. There's this cool story. You may not have heard it. It's not preached often, but it's found from 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4, it's going to come on the screen. It begins in verse 42. Now, what you need to know before we read is that there was a severe famine in the land. So when there's a famine, and it's basically an agricultural society, that means there's not much food in the land. Everybody with me? There's not a lot of food. And the prophet Elisha has gone to Gilgal. And this is what we read. One day, a man from Baal Shalisha brought the man of God a sack of fresh grain and 20 loaves of barley bread, made from the first grain of his harvest. Elisha said, give it to the people so that they can eat. What? The servant exclaimed, feed 100 people with only this? But Elisha repeated, give it to the people so they can eat. For this is what the Lord says, everyone will eat and there will be some left over. There are 100 hungry people. that have gathered because there's a famine in the land. And Elisha says, take the 20 loaves of bread and a small or bag of grain and feed it to 100 people. Well, that tells me 80 people aren't going to get a loaf of bread. And by the way, a loaf of bread won't feed a hungry man. We were at the hospital, and poor Butch hadn't eaten in like 12 hours. And finally, they brought him a little turkey sandwich with three slices of turkey. And he looked at it, and he said, oh, I got excited for nothing, because he was ready to eat a meal. But all he got was this little piece of sandwich that came to him. Because a little loaf of bread, when you're hungry, it just isn't enough. Even if you got three little slices of turkey with it. Am I right? And that's where it came from, Dwayne and Donna, by the way. But man, and then they had a bag of grain. So then you got to make the bag of grain, put it all together. And that's still not enough to feed 100 people. What was the servant's response? The servant's response was, this is not enough. What? What do you want to do? Try to feed 500 people with only this? What kind of mindset did he had? He had the mindset that it's not enough, right? That it's not enough. But look at Elisha's response. His response is, you're going to have more than enough because you're going to have food left over. Wow. Because he knew that God could take what they had and make it more and make it stretch. What story does this remind you of in the Bible? Remind you of Jesus feeding the 5,000? Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Where disciples thought, not more than enough, man. We don't have enough. And Jesus' mindset was, we have more than enough. Now, let's look at Psalms 23:5 this morning. This is a verse that we've been in for the last 3 weeks. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. And the line we want to look at today, my cup runneth over. What's the mindset? More than enough. Matter of fact, let me just read to you in some different translations. The Contemporary English Version says, you will fill my cup until it overflows. The Amplified Bible says, my cup overflows. The Good News Bible says, fill my cup to the brim. All the coffee drinkers like that one, right? Fill my cup to the brim. The Living Bible says, blessings overflow. The Message says, my cup brims with blessings. I like how the NLT puts it. My cup overflows with blessings. Are you hearing what David is saying? David is saying that his life is overflowing, not because he has enough time, energy, and resources. It's overflowing because he knows the goodness of God in his life. It's a great formula that you ought to know. And it's this. You may have heard it before, but it's Jesus plus nothing is more than, that's a big symbol like this, more than anything I face in my life. Jesus plus nothing is more than anything I face in my life. If you have Jesus, you have enough. If you have Jesus, you have enough. You have his goodness. My cup runneth over. It reminds me of the story that happens in John chapter 7. It's in the Feast of the Tabernacles. We know that from verse 2. But it's the last day of the Feast of the Tabernacles. What is the Feast of the Tabernacles? Think of tabernacle tents. So what they would do would be for 7 days, God commanded them to celebrate their deliverance out of Egypt into the promised land. So every So they moved out of their houses, they got a tent, and they put their tent in their front yard or backyard, and they went and lived inside of their tent to remind themselves of what it was like to travel from Egypt to the Promised Land. Inside the tent at night, they would tell the stories that happened of God's provisions inside the tent to their families. One thing about a Orthodox Jew and their families is they pass on their heritage to their children. It's one of the things we ought to learn in the Christian heritage. But they would gather their kids around and the grandkids, and someone would retell the story that they've heard from their father and grandfather and heard over and over again. They would tell about leaving. And so one of the biggest things that happened was when the rock was split open. Remember when the children of Israel were whining because they didn't have enough water? And God provided water for them. He told Moses to hit the rock, and out of the rock came water, and the water gave over a million people water to drink. It's God's goodness to them. That was one of the stories that they would tell during that week while they were in the tent with their family all gathered around. But every morning in Jerusalem, as the dawn began to arise, the shofar or the ram's horn would be blown by the priest. You could hear it all throughout the city. It would blow. And then one of the priests would step up and he would have a golden pitcher. And he would, this is on the south part of the temple, he would walk down to the pool of Siloam and he would take the golden pitcher and he would dip it into the water. And he would begin to walk back up to where all they were all standing. As they got back up there, they would say this. It's from Isaiah 12:3. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the walls of salvation. Then the women would begin singing songs in worship. After the women were done singing, then another priest would walk and he would go and take a pitcher and pour it into another vase, and it would be a golden vase full of wine. And it would go back up. And so you had the pitcher of the water and the wine. The water represented the Holy Spirit. The wine represented life. That one needed the Holy Spirit and inside to provide life. Then they would sing some more. This time the priest would lead the worship and they would sing songs. When they got done singing, they would read scripture from Psalms 113 to 118 because they all had that memorized. So they would quote Psalms 113 to 118. When they finished quoting Psalms 113 to 118, then the priest would say this from Psalms 118:25. Save now, or as we know, Hosanna! I beseech thee, O Lord, send prosperity. And they were looking for the Messiah to come. After he said that, it would be completely quiet in a sacred moment while they prayed for the Messiah to come. It was in that moment that Jesus stood up, and we read on the last day, the climax of the festival, at that moment when it's completely quiet and they're waiting on the Messiah to come, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, anyone who is thirsty may come. Another translation, if you're thirsty, come unto me. He shouted out. Everybody heard him. Because everybody is quietly listening and waiting and praying for the Messiah. Are you thirsty? Come unto me. Verse 38. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. Wow. You can't see the symbolism in all that. Then you're missing it. Jesus says, I'm your Messiah. If you come into me and drink of me, man, rivers of living water will flow from you. I will fill your cup to overflowing. Four things real quick. I promise it won't be long. Number one, this water is for anyone who is thirsty. Did you catch that? It's for anyone who is thirsty. Jesus said anyone can come and drink. Jesus offers this water, and it's free. It doesn't cost you anything. Matter of fact, it can't be earned. It can't be bought. It is a free gift from God. It's a gift of salvation. To come unto him is offered to us free. There's only one condition. You got to be thirsty. You've got to have a need. You got to realize that you can't do it on your own. That you need a Savior. That you need Jesus. That life is not meant to be lived without God. That you need a Savior. You need God. You've got to be thirsty for the living God. Anyone who is thirsty can come and drink. Number two, just so you don't miss it, Jesus is what we drink. Anyone who's thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. Jesus doesn't just have what our souls need. Jesus is what our souls need. Amen? Remember in verse 35, a couple verses before verse 38, Jesus said this, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. He's the bread of life. He is the living water. Our souls were made for Jesus. Our souls ache until we find Christ to be the source. That is why filling our souls with stuff, even though it can be great stuff, will never satisfy us. We'll always feel empty. But it's when our souls are full of Jesus, when we're drinking of him, that we find satisfaction. Because we're made for God. Number three, your souls can drink. Just in case you missed it, there's not a physical cup, not physical lips that you're drinking with. No, you're drinking with your soul. You're drinking with what's inside of you. Spiritually, you're coming to Jesus for water for your soul that needs to be refreshed. You realize your soul needs to be refreshed? And then what we talked about in Psalms 23 already, the refreshing of our souls. And how is our souls refreshed? Through the presence of Christ flowing through us is how our souls are refreshed. Number four, you must believe. You must believe. Jesus said, anyone who believes in me may come and drink. You must believe. Believe. What is believe? Trust. What is trust? Faith. You must trust in Christ. You must believe. In other words, you must believe that Christ is more than enough. Instead of trying to always try to fit everything you can and all your resources to make all your ends meet, you have to trust Christ. That when you trust Christ, oh, there becomes a living water that flows through you. There becomes peace and joy and hope because you know I'm not going to take care of me. God's going to take care of me. And God has more than enough. My cup becomes overflowed with his presence, his goodness, his love for me, his joy, his peace for me. He can supply all my needs with joy. So if you can control, it really comes down to a matter of two things. Let me just put it this way. Either faith or control. Either I'm going to have faith to believe that God is going to take care of me and that God loves me and that God, I'm his child and he's going to fill my cup with what I need, or I'm going to say, no, I got to take control and I got to do it myself. And when we try to take control and do it ourselves, oh man, it's never pretty. Because we can't do it. We need God, right? We need God. So we got to have faith in him. In John 10:10, Jesus says this, the thief comes only to what? Steal and to kill and destroy. Anybody want to drink that? Nope. I have come, Jesus said, that they may have life and have it to the full. The idea is God is not going, is that God is not going to run out. He has more than enough. And that's the mindset we need to have. If we realize that God is the source of life, then our mindset should be, I will have more than enough because the God I have has more than enough. Talking with an individual this week, and they were telling me, they were saying, you know, I just can't get enough. I'm not making enough money. I'm not making enough this. I don't have enough of that. I need more connections in life, and I don't have enough connections. And they were telling me all the things that they do not have enough of. And by the way, I wrote this message 15 weeks ago, so I'm not preaching just to them. But what I'm saying is this. Man, I felt so sorry for them because their mindset is, I don't have enough. But if they could understand that with Christ, you have more than enough, because Jesus plus nothing is greater than anything I'm facing, right? And because they don't have enough, frustration builds within them. And they were coming to me because they said, oh, I need help with my frustration because it boils over at times. Yeah. Because you haven't discovered the secret. The secret is Jesus plus nothing is more than what you need. If you've got Jesus, and your faith is in him, and your hope is in him, and you begin to realize that God's goodness is so good that your cup will overflow throughout your life, then you don't stress as much. You don't worry as much. You don't get frustrated as much. Because what you have is enough. What you have is enough. And God will take care and give you what you need. Paul puts it this way, and getting ready to close, but Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians. I'm doing really good today. Y'all ought to give me a raise for today. I'm doing really good. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 11 says this. But he said to me, this is Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Verse 10. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, hardships, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul's cup did not depend upon what was going on around him. You catch that? His cup depended upon the Christ that he knew, for Christ was in him. So when he was weak because of all that was going on around him, he was still strong because his cup was still full. This is illustrated really well in Acts, I think it's 17 or 16. Paul is in Ephesus. He's going to the house of God to pray. Just a normal day, normal routine. He's going to the house of God to pray. While he's going to the house of God to pray, there is this woman who is following him. And she has a demon inside of her. And she is able to, she's a prophetess, so to speak. And so she's going around following Paul and saying, oh, this man is of Christ, and saying all this stuff. And it keeps detracting from what he's getting ready to do, which is eventually share the gospel. So he turns around, he looks at the woman, and casts the demon out. And the demon leaves her. You think everybody would be happy. Well, somebody owned that woman. Of course, she was really a slave to someone else. And she was making money for him. He got mad because now his money machine went away. So he goes and reports it to the city council. They get this big uproar. They come and they arrest Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas hadn't done anything wrong. They get taken to prison. In prison, they're beaten with rods. Now, if you know anything about rods in that day, that was not nice. It's not like a little whip. It was a whip with stones and rocks and things that would get your flesh and tear it right off when it was pulled back. Much like what they did to Christ. Many people don't survive the beating alone because you bleed to death. But Paul and Silas were both whipped 30 times. They say you'll know Paul when you get to heaven. He'll be the man with all the scars. Of course, you get a new body, so I don't know how that relates. But there was Paul and Silas. It's midnight. You would think they would be going, God, why? Why is this happening to us? Look at all we're trying to do for you. We're trying to share the gospel. And now this has happened. But what were they doing? They were praising God. The Bible says they were singing hymns unto God. They were worshiping him. Now they weren't singing this hymn. But in my imagination, I love the song we sing sometimes, Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. Boy, that would have been a good one to be singing, wouldn't it? They would have been singing something like this. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope secure. He will be my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone. I have been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy rains unyielding love. Amazing grace. I don't know what they were singing, but they were worshiping God because they had a God who saved their lives and had come in and filled their cup to overflowing. Your cup doesn't depend upon your circumstances. Your cup depends upon your knowledge that you belong to God and you're his child and your identity is in him and you're loved by him and he will take care of you no matter what situation of life you find yourself in. That you can worship God wherever you are because your cup is full. Y'all know I sing off key. Or I would have sang that to you. I usually clear the church out when I start singing. Matter of fact, when I was in the choir years ago, they told me just lip sing. Don't even let anything out because we want to win this competition. So, Lee, don't even sing. Just lip sing it. And I said, okay. I was just in the choir because that was part of the youth group and I wanted to meet the girls. But anyway, I lip sing all the way through it. But I love to sing. I sure hope when I get to heaven, God gives me a new voice. Yeah. Because even though I can't, I let her go. My kids will say, Dad. My wife will say, Lee. I don't care. And, of course, most of my songs are the older songs, like 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. It's because of the age group I grew up in. And it's because I remember my mama singing. And I'm going through a hard day. I'm not going to let it take my joy from my cup. I'm going to sing praises. So I went out of the plant this week. Man, I had just a person who was in a horrendous situation. It's heavy upon my heart. I walked out, and I just began to bellow praises unto God and worship Him. Because I don't want that to steal my joy. Right? You have a cup, and God says, I'm going to overflow it with my goodness to you. If you stay true to God, you'll look back in your life and go, God, you've been better to me than I deserved. You'll go, God, you've just been too good to me throughout my life. You just won't be able to contain it, and that goodness will just overflow in your heart. One of the joys now of being older and coming to the house of God to worship is, man, when I sing, I sometimes go back and remember this time and that time and this time and that time where God met me, and I go, thank you, Jesus. I can praise you no matter the storm I'm in right now, because you're always good to me. My cup overflows.